This is Beth Stalker with Mission Network News, and today I'm talking with John from PTEE. John, thank you for taking the time to chat with me today.
My pleasure.
So today we're talking about the story of Jephthah. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yep, that's how I do it. Yep, Jephthah.
Perfect. So we're talking about Jephthah in the Old Testament story, which actually happened in Amman in Jordan, where PTEE is based. So can you give our listeners a quick recap of this story?
Of course, yeah. The story of Jephthah happens in the book of Judges, chapters 11 and 12. And just as a summary, what you have is the Israelites living on the other side of the river in present-day Jordan, which was in Gilead at the time. They were having problems with their enemies, the Ammonites, which is present-day Ammon. And in this political struggle, Jephthah was appointed as a leader of the people of Israel at that place. And after he was appointed, he made the vow that he's infamous for, which is, God, if you give me success in battle, whatever comes out of my house next, I will sacrifice to you. And the thing is, this vow, it's more of a, he put a condition on God, which we'll get back to. We're going to think about what that was doing for him and what it really says about him. But what happens afterwards? He goes to battle, he has success, he defeats his enemies, and he comes back. And to his horror, the first thing that comes out of his house is his young daughter. And not only he, but his daughter both say, no, you have to complete the vow that you made to God. You have to fulfill it. And so he does. And tragically, this young girl dies. Now, that story, it gives us pause as believers when we read it, because it just does not feel like the right thing has been done. But the story doesn't really say, did he do the right thing? Did he do the wrong thing? The narrator is quite silent. And I think that's on purpose. I think that the storyteller, the person who wrote the book of Judges, is inviting us to test our Bible knowledge to see whether Jephthah did the right thing or not. And if you look, actually, Leviticus chapter 5, I believe, is quite clear. Don't make any rash vows. But here's the thing, if you do, there is a way out. Once God says in the law, in Leviticus, if you make a rash vow, yes, you've sinned by doing that. However, you can make a sacrifice to cancel that vow. Now, obviously, Jephthah didn't know that because he did not want to sacrifice his daughter. So we're already seeing just a piece of his biblical illiteracy, I suppose. He did not know the Torah. And then the second part is, why would he think it's okay that God would enjoy and be pleased with a child sacrifice? Well, once again, if we kind of dig into the culture of the Bible and looking in the Bible, you'll see that we said the Ammonites were the enemies at the time. The Bible tells us that the Ammonites practiced child sacrifice as a way of offering worship to their God. Now, it looks as though Jephthah in Gilead had been polluted and influenced by the majority culture around him, that for some reason he thought that his God, our God, the God of Israel, would be pleased with something that a pagan God accepts. Once again, seeing that Jephthah's biblical understanding, his understanding of God, was tragically deficient.
You've already started to hint towards my next question, which is, what is the significance of this story and how does it point to a need for PTEE?
Yes, well, the story of Jephthah is, I believe, the Bible's own way of giving us a negative example. Jephthah needed to make some wartime decisions, important decisions. And his shallowness of biblical knowledge led him to make a very bad, a very tragic choice. If he had known his Bible, he'd known God's Torah, he would have known God's character. God would not have wanted him to do that to his daughter. And I believe it shows for us the most practical case study I can think of why we need to know our Bibles, not just our favorite passages of scripture, but the whole thing, because all of it is God's word and all of it helps us understand God's character so that we can live godly lives. And as a matter of application to what we're doing over here, PTEE is a ministry that at its core value, its number one priority is to help Arab believers know their Bibles better for daily life in order for them to seek God in their ministries and their family lives as a holistic way of knowing God in worship and ministry.
So this next question is a pretty obvious question, but why should our listeners support PTEE's work and how can they do so?
No, that's a great question. And I myself, when I was looking for a ministry to join here in the Arab world, I was very impressed by PTEE's pedigree here. They have been in the region for more than 30 years. And what's most exciting to me is that it is exclusively locally run. Arab Christian leaders figuring out and casting vision for reaching and equipping the Arab Christian world. I'm happy to play a small part in facilitating that, but the decision making and the values are all coming from the organic Christian community here in the Middle East. And on top of that, that allows them to, they have insights into the culture that us Westerners, we will never have. I will never understand the culture as well as a Middle Eastern Christian. I will never speak the language as well as them. They are the ones that know the work and are most skilled, so it makes most sense to equip teachers here that can move into the Arab world, all the countries, and help them increase in their biblical knowledge for the goal of understanding God.
I love it. And how can our listeners also pray for the Arab world? Pray for the leaders who are casting vision and God is using.
Absolutely. The Arab world, at the moment for Christians, it's a tumultuous environment that we're currently in. Some countries, as we know, there is outward and official persecution against the church. However, in other countries where the church is officially recognized, like here in Jordan, for example, they are still a cultural minority here. So that has led many in the region, I'm not just talking about Jordan, but the entire region, to look for better opportunities elsewhere, moving to the West. Some going as refugees and some going because they're just looking for a better life for their families, which is leaving the church here in the country with two possibilities. One is increased secularization, most definitely, and also just succumbing to the greater cultural effects of the dominant worldview in the region. The churches are either A, becoming less active or closing, unfortunately, or B, they are retreating and almost forming, there's a tendency or a temptation just to form Christian fortifications or strongholds, Christian bubbles where the church can survive. So we need to pray for them that they will be emboldened to engage the majority culture as a minority group that is not looked well upon.
I will pass that along. And John, you've answered all of my questions, but do you have any final thoughts that you want to add?
Let's see. I would say if I had a final thought, it would be pray for the Arab world. There have been Christians in this part of the world since the apostles. This is the cradle of our faith. Continue to pray for God's people here, the ones that have lived in a Christian tradition, and for the ones that have completely come from having a dead faith or a faith that was not real to them at all, pray that God would continue to light fires of renewal in this place where his name was once absolutely above all.